Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Really glad you're with us here today on New Life. And joining me today in the studio, Milan Yurkovich and Dr. Jill Hubbard. Hi, guys.
Hi.
Hi, Steve.
Hi, Jill. How are you?
Hey. It's good to see you. Hi to you, too, Milan.
I know. I mean, hi's all the way around.
Yep. Well, we have been asked to talk for a second about what's going to happen when we get together in Washington, D.C. on June the 28th. For our Intimacy in Marriage Intensive. And I'm just going to start by saying I think one of the greatest things that New Life does is this, because to me it focuses on and highlights perhaps the best material ever presented, not just on marriage, but on relationships and why we do some of the things that we do, and that's how we love. So, Milan, let's just take a minute to tell people, what is the foundation of the How We Love material and how it actually helps a couple who don't even like each other, let's say?
Well, I think there's two elements, Steve. One element is that both you and Kay and I create a foundation of what does God want? What does He expect in relationship? And then what His desires are? And then why relationships are difficult, you know, that we fall in love, but then our brokenness calls us, so we're attracted when we fall in love, and then but our brokenness repels us and we hurt one another. And so to understand that, you know, brokenness and ruptures are a part of relationship, even great ones. And if we think that true love should mean I'd never have ill feelings or difficult emotions,
or I'm always happy,
mm-hmm. then we help to really establish that. And we, all three of us, do that, Steve. And then Kay and I draw in the attachment piece, which is our histories create the adult we are today. We are the sum total. I joke with everybody, and I tell, because I have grandkids, I love Thomas the Train. Now, what we like about Thomas the Train is we just
love
see
that
the
stage.
I do too. We just see the front end of Thomas, and we mm-hmm. see his face. But in reality, all of us are like Thomas, but we all have boxcars behind the engine. And we are marrying the history of the other person, and they're marrying our history.
Mm-hmm.
And so what marriage is, it's two colliding histories. And unless we understand that, we will find ourselves reacting and not understanding why people believe and think and behave the way they do. Well, so we can bring order to this so that it's not a mystery, but it's understood, and then we can know how to really listen to each other and have empathy and compassion.
Going with your Thomas the Train analogy, what we do is we spend a lot of time complaining about the fact that we didn't know you had all this stuff in the boxcars
mm-hmm.
back there.
Yeah.
Right, they were surprise boxcars.
Yes,
right.
We were just...
surprised.
We thought you were just all happiness and wonder as you put your best foot forward. And so what really I think you and Kay, and hopefully I do this, is we help people say, well, wait, those boxcars are there for a reason. Mm-hmm. Let's find out. And as we discover why they're there, for our spouse and for us, we have new understanding of each other and our potential in the relationship. Not only that, we can come to a place of accepting what we understand in a way we never dreamed we could accept it. And all of a sudden, we're saying to each other, you know what, we're all we've got here. And mm-hmm. if we move on, it's not going to be any better, because we're going to take 50% of us with it. And we're going to have to figure this out sooner or later. Let's do it now. That's the beauty of the intensive. And we'd love for you to come and join us. 1-800-NEW-LIFE to find out about it.
My wife asked me for the first time in 2011 if I would consider myself a sex addict, so I signed up. You know, I'd read the Every Man's Battle book, and it was a great book, but the workshop, it was the experience that really was key for me. If they go to EMB, they're going to be in good hands. You know, this is a safe place. They're going to be surrounded by men that simply walk the talk. The weekend leaders that they will go through this workshop with, they'll help them to get to the root of their issues. You know, I've been through a number of well-preached sermons, listened to and read countless books, been to a number of seminars, but EMB for me was a game changer. It truly saved my life. Being in this community, being in this workshop, being around these men will change them if they'll let them. You're going to encounter men that will meet you where you're at, and you will instantly walk into a safe place where they're welcome.
If you're struggling, call us. We don't want you to go on struggling. Just give us a call. It's 1-800-639-5433. It's 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back. Going right to the phones, talk to Mary from New York City, New York. WBLN is the station. Hi there, how are you?
I'm good, thank you.
How could we help today? What's going on with you or what's on your mind today?
I have a question. A couple of weeks back, listening to your show, and yep. A gentleman called in, and I'm going to say exactly what he said. He said that he was a pastor, mm-hmm. and while he was a pastor, he was involved with a woman in his parish, I guess, and had an affair.
Yeah.
He left his wife and left the church, and he married her. Okay. This is 25 years later. He said they've had a good life. They're happy. Okay. But the thing is, the Bible tells us, and he wanted to know if he could go back to being a pastor again. I thought that was his question. Now, correct me if I'm wrong. And you never mentioned to him that really, to be a pastor, there's many qualities God expects of you, of them, because they're not like the average, everyday person. God expects more of them, and God says that they should have just one wife. So
yeah.
How can he just marry again and still expect to be a pastor?
Well, yes. Good question. Now, the big debate, of course, and Mylon will want to talk about this too, but the big debate, of course, does that mean that he has only had one wife ever, or he has one wife now? That's the big debate. And what we never want to do is encourage somebody that is not qualified to do something that they're not qualified for. And then you have that issue that I want Manuel to talk about a little bit, is, you know, is it one wife or one wife ever? And then the other thing is, you have different kinds of pastors. Could a person that's been married before, let's just say it's one wife ever, could a person have be qualified not to be a senior pastor, let's say, but maybe they're qualified to be a recovery pastor or a teaching pastor or something like that. So I think, just based on Mylon's theological training, I think Mylon might be more equipped to handle this. What do you think, Mylon?
Can I just ask for a clarification,
yeah.
Steve,
yeah.
in what you're talking about? Are you kind of alluding to the fact that then it moves into, can people that have been divorced at all be pastors?
Yeah.
Right? That, let's say there's not an affair, and they didn't marry their affair partner, but yeah. they've just been divorced. And so I think that's part of what you're saying, isn't it?
It's all complicated.
Okay.
That's for sure.
Mylon.
Yeah. Mylon's going to clear it all up for us. Thank you, Mylon.
Thank you so much. Mary, this is a great yes. question, and I mm-hmm. thank you for calling. I do not recall this phone conversation, so I don't know exactly what was said, nor mm-hmm. do I remember the story. But, you know, you're absolutely right. There is a very strict set of criteria in 1 Timothy 3 and Titus 1 for how pastors should be selected. And you're right. There's a very high standard for them, and we should think about that, really listen. And as I like to say, a lot of it, Mary, is about what happens behind closed doors. It's not just public presentation. It's what's happening at home and with family and neighbors and friends. Having said that, we have to ask another question, which is, can people make mistakes, and then can they turn those mistakes into something profitable for the kingdom of God in the future?
Yeah.
And I think that's a higher question here, because I know people that have made serious blunders in their lives of all sorts, Mary, and what they did is they did deep healing, and they could understand the causation for their blunders, and they in turn turned that into magnificent ministries. Take Charles Colson, for example. You know, he was a part of the Nixon administration, and he went to jail, and he then created, because he did things that were wrong, and then he started Prison Fellowship, and he turned his broken life into an incredible ministry that reaches millions of people to this very day. So I love
what
Jill...
Could I just interject one thing?
Well, you can.
The man you're referring to.
Well, just let me finish one thought here, and that is what we call the word ministry. What does that mean? You see, I might not get paid to have ministry. I could go into recovery work. I could do something in counseling. I could even become, as Steve said, a staff pastor that helps mentor people with addictions and sexual indiscretions. But I understand your point, and I think, as Steve said, this is a very confusing topic. I'm just bringing up one point for us to consider. Well, this man, I don't know who he is, and I wasn't a part of the conversation. I'm only speaking generally to the subject that you brought up, to the topic. Can people ever get back in? Yes.
Regarding what you just said, this man did it wrong. He paid a penalty for it, didn't he?
Mm-hmm.
He had to go to jail. Okay? Well, there's a penalty for sin no matter who we are. That's how I feel. Now, maybe as this gentleman was just telling me, that man who did this, who I was referring to, that called into your show, mm-hmm. he could be an assistant to somebody, but he wouldn't be the top man in charge. He could be, like he said, doing certain things that help in certain areas. But he wouldn't be the sole one running that church. He'd be assistant to somebody else. That wouldn't put him in the highest position that God puts a man into me who was a pastor. And it's all these 8-10 things that he's supposed to be.
Yeah. Well, I understand your position, Mary.
It's complicated.
It's complicated,
right.
But a lot of the things you said, I think a lot of people would agree with.
Right. I just had to question that.
Well, yeah. And here, you know, and no matter what position we're in, we all need accountability, and especially those who are pastoring, and accountability for our vulnerabilities. Because so often, you know, if you put the kind of the ideal perfect guy in the top position, a lot of those men have a really hard time because they don't have a lot of accountability, right? And they're having to be everything to everybody, and it's so unrealistic, they're not really allowed to be real. And that's a problem. And we know that Jesus used hurting and broken people.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's something for us to look at. And Mylan, you're right. You know, how repentant is someone?
Right.
Is Jesus really the center of their life? And mm-hmm. do they believe every word of the Bible? Are they acting it out and living it out to the best of their ability?
Yeah.
There are so many questions that you could have called and we could tell you. We have the definitive answer. There's just no question. But this is a point of confusion, and there mm-hmm. are it's just there's so many different intricacies in this, and so we're saying here's our best opinion here.
And
I even go out to let's say you're in Nome, Alaska, and there's no pastor anywhere, and yet there's a man there that you know this would describe, and he wants to lead people in a Bible study, and that one day maybe as a church, you know, there are complications here. And one of the things that we want to be sure of is that we try to look at the whole counsel of Scripture, and we try to look at the circumstance in which this is happening and the person. Is this some person who is egotistical and just, you know, whatever? Mm-hmm. Okay, that's the best we can do.
I love what Jill said just a moment ago when she said it's about repentance and what are they repenting mm-hmm. for and what are they mm-hmm. what's their story at this point?
Have they learned from their mistakes?
Yeah,
right?
And
yeah.
What are they gonna,
doing with it?
Exactly. What are they going to do with that? And how insightful are they going to be as to why people end up in those situations? It's a good insight.
All right, let's go to Teresa, Atlanta, Georgia. Sirius XM is the station she listens to, and we're glad she does. Hi there, how are you?
Hi, how are you?
Good, what's going on?
I got married a year and a half ago, and before we got married, I told him what I wanted, and he told me what he wanted, so we said, okay. But then he continued to get on his Facebook, continued to be on his phone, continued to be on his business phone and talking to the girls that I told him, this has to stop.
Hmm.
So it's still going on today.
Hmm.
He doesn't want me to see his business phone log. He doesn't want me to see his T-Mobile phone log. He doesn't want me to say anything to nobody. And I feel that he's talking to these people. Well, we just purchased an item. So he did let me see his business phone line log. And I see he talked to his ex. And I say, why did she call you on your birthday? Why is she talking to you? You have a daughter that's over 18, so she has no reason whatsoever to talk to you. Why is she calling you on your birthday? And then the next day, he called her. I said, why are you calling her the next day? Oh, I had to tell her something. No, you don't tell her nothing. And so
I think we have the answer to the problem. The question is, what can you do about the problem, right?
Yes, yes.
Your husband isn't fully faithful to you, right?
That is correct.
Hmm. Right. And I'm sorry about that.
It is. I don't.
Yeah.
I really don't believe that he is. I mean, he doesn't want me to check his phone log on. And he says, that's a problem. No, that you are the problem because you won't allow what? Why won't you just clear the air? So you don't want this marriage to continue because you don't want to clear the air.
Yeah. So the question then becomes, is he willing to do anything about his problem? And it sounds like to me he isn't.
Right. Yeah, I'm sitting in the parking lot ready to go in to go counseling.
Okay, right. Good.
Yeah.
Good.
I don't know.
Teresa, it's very hurtful, very, very painful to see that you're in a marriage. It's only been a year and a half, and there isn't that trust and honesty between the two of you. And I feel really, really sad for you. And I don't think it's about catching him and convincing him, because he's invested in not admitting the truth. And I think, you know, it's something you have to, you know, almost say to him, when you lead a secret life, I feel so hurt and betrayed and sad, right? That you married him, I'm assuming because you loved him, and you had the hopes of a life together, and that's not what you're getting. And so I think, you know, focusing more on the sadness instead of being angry and catching him like he's a little boy who's done wrong, I don't think that gets you any mileage. He's just going to continue to go more and more secret, and you get put in that position of being like the mom and he's the boy in trouble. And that's not very attractive, right? So I think if you can kind of come at it from a softer approach, get into some counseling, and just say, I am just so sad. Mm-hmm. I'm so sad that we've only been married a year and a half, and I feel like we don't have trust between us. And to start there and looking at that.
And look, don't not do anything just because he's not willing to do anything, okay?
You show up. You show up for counseling, and you invite him.
Oh, I'm right here in the parking lot.
Okay. Yes, we know.
Great.
Teresa, this is very sad, and I'm so sorry, but I have to ask you a question. Were you a part of his secret life before he married you?
No.
Okay. So he was sort of in a state of neutrality, I guess, and
when you guys
9 years and then got divorced, and then he started doing whatever, and then I met him, and he wasn't, he told me, you know, I'm not going to talk to this one, I'm not going to talk to this one, but I got a private detective and found and caught him.
Mm-hmm. So this, yeah. Teresa,
caught him not in the act, but you know,
sure.
Going to her house and talking to her, and saying, and then she's calling his phone. I'm like, I thought you weren't going to talk to her anymore. So don't tell me about this marriage,
right?
So that's I think that's what I should have not done.
Right. Well, I think Steve really nailed it. He's not faithful, and then basically what you have to do is give him an ultimatum. He's got to choose others or you.
Yeah. And I'm hoping that this counselor you're going to is really good. Really good. We'll be back.
God pulled me out of the gutter of my life that I was living in.
I have done a lot of work over the last 40 years. This is the first time I've ever felt love.
I've had such a wonderful weekend here. I'm 2,000 miles from my house, and for the first time in a long time, I've felt at home.
And the Lord has set me free from my mother's story about me not being good enough.
The New Life Finding Freedom Workshop is coming to Orange County May 3rd to the 5th.
We're going
to
talk about forgiveness and codependency. We're going to understand that family of origin, the unhealthy reactions to it. We're going to talk about the cycle of shame and surrender and developing the plan that moves us forward. There'll be 8 teaching sessions and 6 small group sessions.
To register or to learn more about the Finding Freedom Workshop, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or online at newlife.com.
I am living a new life, and I believe that I have the resources and tools to continue that.
For most of my life, I've been dealing with an opiate addiction.
Why is opioid addiction quickly becoming one of our nation's biggest killers? Maybe it's because it isn't only those who are addicted who are in denial.
We did what I see so many parents do, is it can't be an addiction. There's something medically wrong.
It's impossible to solve a problem when you don't know what you're up against, and families will try to find any explanation except the one that will put them on the right path.
Alcoholism and drug addiction is a family disease. It doesn't affect just the individual.
If someone you love is abusing painkillers, know what you're up against. It's time to admit it's addiction and seek treatment. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We have Christ-centered partner treatment centers around the country. Call 1-800-639-5433 or visit us online at newlife.com.
We just made a decision. We will do whatever it takes.
1-800-NEW-LIFE. We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arderman here. Really glad you're with us here today on New Life Live. And as you can see, things are complicated. It's not simple. And that's why we love being here, so that we can give somebody some help. But let this last caller be an example. No matter what the other person is or is not willing to do, you get the help. She was in the parking lot to get help. And
so
that's,
glad.
Yeah, and so that is her greatest hope there, even though right now, I mean, he is proving himself to be exactly who he is. And
well,
that is an unfaithful.
Yeah.
Absolutely. But Jill and I were talking at the break about the fact that when, you know, DUI is driving under the influence, and Jill came up with an MUI, where we get married under the influence of the intoxication of falling in love. And so what happens is we're not looking super hard.
Picture.
We don't see the whole picture. And
we don't want to see it, right?
Exactly right.
Yeah.
We don't want to see what we don't want to see. And so, you know, it's really sad, but there's this thing that is a rule, it's a law out in the business world, and it's called you know, you have to do our due diligence as we look into something. Mm-hmm. It's called due diligence.
Or informed consent.
Informed consent. Mm-hmm. Or we have to let the buyer beware.
Yes.
Is another way of saying that. Due diligence. What have I really looked under the hood? Have I really kicked the tires? What is
right.
this that I'm linking up to? And I think this is an important message, Steve and Jill, not just to Teresa, but to anybody listening.
Sure.
Because we have people in all sorts of states of relationship. And Jill talked about the fact that there's a lot of people who, once a relationship is ended, boom, they're in another one just immediately.
Right.
And
right.
they don't have
they
time.
They can't handle being alone.
Exactly. Right. And they don't stop and ask what happened to that previous relationship before they find themselves all in another one again. And so
then they're having to grieve, right? And you know, different things change once you get married. And we transfer different parts of our history onto the new people in our lives.
There's Thomas right? the Train again.
It's why the ex suddenly looks good when she was horrible.
Yeah.
Right? Because now the new one is in that spot.
Yeah.
We are called to repair and get it right before we move on
yes.
to the next person. In the business world, Mylon, it's called due diligence. I think in premarital, it should be called don't diligence. Because there is a really good chance that if you do the work and you're willing to look at the truth, that maybe this isn't the right thing to do at this particular time.
Mm.
I mean, we find that so many people have, for whatever reason, rushed in mm-hmm. and wished that they had taken their time and maybe the outcome would have been quite different. And maybe they would have even married, but under different circumstances, and the dynamic would have been different from the very beginning. Now, I want to go to Jessica, Waterbury, Connecticut. She listens on the app. We're glad that she does. Jessica, how are you?
I'm good. Thank you. How are you?
Doing great. What's going on in your life?
Well, basically, I've battled with anxiety and depression since I was a teenager, and now I'm in my 40s, and something, I lost my job about 2 months ago, and it hasn't been anything new because I've had, you know, that struggle, but I've always wanted to, you know, kind of prove myself, go for the next goal, you know, get up. But this time it was different. I almost just like gave up,
yeah.
you know, and I'm just like, oh my God, is this just it? You know, a lot of anxiety, a lot of depression, and I have turned to God, and I do go to therapy, but at the same time, it was just like everything hit me at once. Like, mm-hmm. wow, I'm not married. I've been isolated for so long, right. In my own, you know, my own yes. life and
yeah.
Career. I mean, finances, fear of like losing my parents, and I'm just like, even though I'm getting out little by little, it's like you know, I've even looked up, like, midlife crisis. It's like, how can I get out of that hole,
okay.
you know, completely? Because it has affected even my physical mm-hmm. body, like, symptoms. And and it's just it's just difficult because
okay.
I have seen so many people just thrive, you know,
yeah.
and move past me.
Okay.
And
so let's all right, mm-hmm. we hear you. Let's see if we can give you some help here to get you mm-hmm. out of this, because you really have. I mean, it's been tough here. So, Mylon, what do you think? Let's start with you and then Jill.
Well, Jessica, you did one of the finest jobs of describing a midlife crisis that I've heard in a long time. And I talk about this in my office a lot, and we have idealism, and we think life is going to go a certain way, and then we turn 40, and reality is far below what we had hoped and dreamed. In addition, I love that you could couple in the fact that you had a history of anxiety, and that you could talk about the losses, that you weren't married, you were isolated, you were fearful of losing your parents, and that was creating a depression. And this is a massive reality adjustment for you. And that's the first thing I wanted to validate to you and say, this is a highly predictable place. It's common, and it's not some place that's unique to you, and it's not something that's rare. Many of us go through this, and I think you're approaching it in a really great way. So we'll pick up from there right after this commercial. Okay, Jessica?
Hold on. We'll be right back.
All right.
On Friday night, we got into an argument, and I sit in the car outside for 2 hours. I knew what the right thing to do was to go.
The New Life Intimacy and Marriage Workshop is coming to Washington, D.C. June 28th to the 30th.
You know, I know this stuff, but it's so hard to do. Mm-hmm. I hear it, I read it, and I'm always getting in my own way. I'm always expecting my wife to go first.
Join Steve Arterburn.
We believe that everybody has room to grow in the intimacy level of their life.
And Mylan and Kay Yurkovich.
We help couples understand how their attachment style is sabotaging their current relationship. And then we teach them how to create comfort in a relationship.
And New Life's group leaders will help you focus on the area that will benefit your marriage most. To register to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com.
My biggest takeaway was to just get out of my way and go first.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Last year, after every man's battle, I was so moved by the transformation that I saw, not only in myself, but in the guys in our small group and the other people that were there and the stories that I heard, that I decided to go ahead and join Club New Life as a contributor to that.
You can help New Life Live stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
You guys are doing God's work here. You're restoring marriages. You're giving people hope. It's just been such a blessing to me, and I just wanted to encourage you all. When you see something good that God's doing, just jump on that and help support that.
Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433.
Give your support to them if you can, and just help them do what God's doing here in the world.
Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today. Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. We're all here and we are excited. We are talking to Jessica.
Yes, we are.
Jessica, we were just saying you're in a midlife crisis. It makes sense. It's common. And Jill, you were going to have some thoughts.
Well, and I think we could call it the midlife disappointment, mm-hmm. as you were alluding to, Mylan, or maybe you said outright, because we have first half of life, we're always anticipating what's to come, right? And so you're coming to terms with, okay, does it get better than this? And Jessica, it sounds like you have had some successes in life, but with the loss of this job, it's like it's reinforced and brought back up all those old fears that you believe about yourself deep down, that somehow other people are meant to thrive and have it all, but you're not. Is that?
Well, it's been hard for me to, like, I could start something like school and then not finish. So, like, I haven't completed many things. You know?
Okay.
And honestly, like, I'm a believer, and I believe the word, but sometimes, let's say I read something that says God's going to put you from the back to the front, you know, and I've had that mentality, and when it doesn't happen, that's caused, you know, frustration in my life, and not that I don't believe that God can't do it, however, my situation has been, I guess, different or different path than I thought. So it's like, you know, how do I balance that too? Because it's just spiritual guilt plus personal development not accomplished. Just so many things. And now I'm actually starting a, you know, a new job, and it's not what I wanted to do. However, it's an open door, so I'm just, you know, trying to deal with that as well. And
Well, and just,
can I come back from this? Because it's just like, you know, the taste of like going for my dreams or goals,
right.
Fighting back. My fight has kind of just been, you know, hit.
Right. Of course. Of course. And it is really hard when you get knocked down. It's hard to get back up again. And the more times we get knocked down, the harder it is. This is why it's really important to not do it alone. And you said that you're in therapy, and that's great. I think that's really important. I think our Finding Freedom workshop would be really great for you to be with other people and to, you know, see that, one, you're not alone, and two, to find some ways to kind of push through that being stuck. Because, you know, we all, when we're afraid and anxious, you know, we're always looking for that thing we fear and then kind of saying, aha, there it is, there it is, there it is, because we don't want to be taken off guard. And then with depression, it narrows our field of vision. So we kind of get tunnel vision and we don't really, like, we lose our ability to be optimistic. We don't really see all the opportunities. We kind of just see just maybe one or two. And so we need that input from other people to help shift us from that kind of depressive spiral that we get stuck in. So having, you know, other input, people around you, and having that other exposure is really important. And then also looking at, okay, it's not so much allowing our circumstances to define us, but, you know, what is our core, and how do we define ourselves? You know, letting the Lord define us, number one. But it's more of, how are we handling life situations? How are we dealing with it in the midst of this, and who are we in relationship with in the midst of it, versus just having those external kind of accolades or milestones that say, okay, yeah, you've made it, you're doing great. That's really a small portion of life.
Yeah, and if I can add to that, I agree, you need those people around you. And part of the things that people can do, Jill, is help us with our initial thinking.
Yeah.
Because that helps us with expectations. I noticed you said, well, somehow you were under the impression that God will move me from the back to the front. And so you're standing there or sitting. Mm-hmm. And if something therefore doesn't happen, you're disappointed, you're crushed, you're dashed. But this is what I call magical thinking. We think God's just going to move us around like a chess piece, as opposed to helping me really getting help and asking people to help me think through, how have I framed life? What do I expect God's going to do? What's his part and what's my part? And then you said, I start a lot of things and then stop, which tells me you probably have performance anxiety. You get halfway into something, it gets overwhelming, and you stop. And so that's really important, too, because we have to ask, you know, why do I sabotage, and then why do I think God's going to make up for it by moving me from the back to the front? And I have to stop and I ask, where did that thought come from?
And it sounds like to me you were surprised that Mylon would have the insight that you would have this performance anxiety, right?
Mm-hmm.
But he's worked with so many people, just like other Christian counselors have worked with so many people, that patterns form and you see foundations for things that float to the surface. And that's why we encourage people to get help from a really good Christian counselor.
See, I think Jill's idea of getting to a take your life back, you know, one of those weekends could be
absolutely
Finding Freedom would be absolutely a great. Mm-hmm. Because, Steve, you guys cover a lot of stuff in there which addresses a lot of this. You know, what are we thinking? What are we putting out there as our hopes and expectations? She used the word hopes and dreams a lot. Well, what's the difference between that and fantasy? And we have to stop and ask those questions.
Well, and someone might say, well, we're supposed to be free in Christ. Okay, so if we're not, what is it that robbed us of the freedom? Is it something from the past? Is it a controlling person in the present? Is it fear of the future? Mm-hmm. So, and then we can deal with those things and then reestablish the freedom. So that's what we want to do, is help you get free from whatever versus say, well, you ought to be free. If you're not free, mm-hmm. let's find out how to get free. That's the main thing. All right. Really glad you called. I want you to hold on. I'm going to send you the emotional freedom workbook. And boy, so many people have found freedom from that. And I hope that you'll come join us for the Finding Freedom Workshop. It really is an amazing, amazing time to be together. And so hold on, and hopefully we can get you there. You are listening to New Life Live. Glad you are. And we would love to help you in any way possible. But you have to call us first. And to call us, it's 1-800-NEWLIFE. And people calling with simple problems with complex answers, that's what we're all about here. And I hope and pray that you'll let us help you if at all possible. 1-800-NEWLIFE. That is the number. All right. How about we talk with Mark from Kalamazoo, Missouri. Hey, Mark, how are you?
Michigan.
I'm sorry.
Oops. Missouri?
I'm sorry. Listen, I freelance as kind of a guy without intelligence, and looks like I've done a good job there.
Geographically challenged.
Sorry about that. Yeah.
No, you're good. You're good. My nephew, my brother's son, my brother passed away or was killed 25 years ago.
I'm sorry.
His son had a daughter married. He was married, had a daughter, and during his marriage, he was having an affair with someone, and through the course of the time, he ended up getting her pregnant. One is definitely his, not sure about the other one yet, but his daughter that he had in the marriage is being put through a very bad time.
Okay. All right.
Doesn't respect her. Everything has to do with the other two girls from the lady he's having an affair with, which he's with yet. And she's having a hard time dealing with it because he neglects her over the kids. Or the other two girls from the other lady.
Yes.
And
okay. So the question for us is
everything.
Yeah.
What words or what book can I give her? I need help. I don't know what to do for her anymore.
How old is this daughter, Mark?
13.
Thank you. That's important to know.
Smart as a whip.
Okay. All right.
Smart as a whip.
Well, we'll help you right after the break. You can hear the music. Mark, thank
All right.
you. Steve?
Hold on. Yeah, I'm really glad that you called. And it's so amazing, when somebody so obviously is doing something, and it's hurtful, but they don't see, and they don't know, and they don't change. We'll try to help.
We need to talk. She's asked me for the first time if I would consider myself a sex addict. I thought it was just about admitting the things that I had done wrong. I never had a clue that it was about redeeming our story. I thought it was just about coming clean on what I had done. I had no idea how to help her with her pain. She was a mess, I was a mess, and we got divorced. Going to EMB, surrounding myself with these other men, they accepted me for who I was and what I had done, but they challenged me to step up and do better. They'll be around other men who are not just pointing the finger, but willing to get in and wade through it with them, get in the trenches. They'll get hope from this workshop. Take my sweet wife and my story. We were divorced, remarried, and on our way to what I think will be the sweetest years of our lives. It's no longer simply about surviving. For the first time ever, we're thriving, we're enjoying where we're at.
Hey, listen, if you're struggling, we want to see you at the workshop. Give us a call, 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, this is Steve Arterburn, and for 30 years, New Life has been the most trusted name in Christian counseling.
I'm an addict, and I'm trying to get God in my life again. You seem to be able to get to the crux of a problem quickly.
Our Christ-centered treatment programs can help you break free to embrace all that God has for you and your family.
I just want to thank you guys for bringing me to a relationship with Jesus.
There really is help for marital problems, depression, addictions, panic attacks, and feelings of hopelessness.
I came back with so many tools to help me prepare myself to fight this struggle and this battle that I have every day.
You can start living again today, living the life God intended for you. Help is available at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
They did care, and they did follow up very lovingly, and it made all the difference in my life.
Call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Someone who cares is waiting at the other end of the phone. God can open the door to a better tomorrow right now. Just call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. 1-800-639-5433.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here. Really glad that you're with us here today. And Mark, Mylon has some things for you. Mylon?
Well, Mark.
Okay.
We love your question because mm-hmm. it's what can we do to help? What can I do, Mark, Uncle Mark, to help my niece who's 13?
Yeah.
And you're right. I don't know that you're going to be able to talk sense into your nephew's head. But I want to help.
I've tried.
I know.
Yeah,
and I sense that. And, you know, one of the things that he is really out of commission. He's not available. He's missing in action. All these different things you could say. And one of the things I would do, Mark, Jill said this so beautifully. You're going to be you have the chance to be the greatest uncle in the world here.
True.
And to give her that attention.
She calls me a father she never had.
Well, thank you.
Good, because she needs you.
Exactly.
And that warms my heart, Mark, because, you know, sometimes we don't have the person that ought to be there, mm-hmm. but God does provide a substitute. And these are such crucial years for her because this is a time where fathers and daughters tend to transition anyway because of girls starting to develop and all of that. But inside of them, as they're budding teens, they're also little girls that need that affirmation. And they need to be
exactly.
told by a dad that they're beautiful and wonderful and to really reflect back to them how they see them so that they're not, Mylon, as you said, running into the arms of the first boy that, you know, compliments
yep.
them. And so she needs you to be that dad. And I pray that you're willing to really step into that and affirm her and love her. And
she
yeah.
stays at my house a lot with me and my wife.
Perfect. Good. Her dad's a jerk, you know, and she's just got to realize, okay, he is broken and lost and isn't able to give her what she needs. It's not because of her.
Yeah.
And that's a message right there, Jill.
Mm-hmm.
That's the message in a nutshell
right.
that you have to say to her over and over and over again. This isn't her fault. This is his problem.
Right, to really see
yeah.
that, because kids often make themselves bad in order to keep a parent good.
Mm-hmm.
And this parent is not good, not being a good parent.
Yeah.
So.
The wonderful thing, I think, is that sometimes when things are really crummy and a person is feeling like, oh, you know, my dad doesn't love me or care or whatever, when the stranger or the uncle steps in and provides, it really does provide such a healing force. It's like God did not forget me.
Mm-hmm.
God knew the reality of dad.
Yep.
And now here is this person who has my best interest in mind, and they see that as the provisional father from
right.
the Father in heaven. Mm-hmm. And it's such a tremendously healing thing.
So
one of the things...
Christian school, too, so I'm glad she's got a solid background.
Mm-hmm. One of the things you may
Good.
Want to do, Mark, that we talked about is for you and your wife to take her into a marriage and family therapist who can help her process week after week after week her grief and to learn to mourn this instead mm-hmm. of living in a state of denial where she's somehow then reversing what's true and perhaps blaming herself, but she can learn to grieve the loss of a dad and a mom
yep.
at some level. So that's what
Glad
we thought.
Glad that you Really yes. glad that you called. And let me send you, I'm going to send you How We Love. And I think that's going to give you some great foundational help on to help her understand how things play out in difficult relationships with parents. And it's going to give you a great
path. Or maybe How We Love Our Kids, Steve.
How We Love Our Kids for you. And also, right. that'll be perfect. Thank you, Jill, for that great reminder there. Anybody else, that resource and many others, they're available at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, if you've listened very long, you know that one of the things that we do here is we do these intensive weekends. Every Man's Battle is May the 3rd, and you know the amazing, tremendous, life-changing impact that that has on so many. Finding Freedom is also May the 3rd, and whether it's depression or fear, anxiety, some kind of compulsive behavior, habit, whatever it is that you're struggling with, we can help you, but you have to call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It's going to be a great weekend. The last time we did it, I mean, people loved that weekend. So come and join us. Intimacy in Marriage is June the 28th. Our Restore Workshop for women who've been hurt by a man who's had a sexual integrity problem, that's on July 19th. And then we have a Life Recovery Conference that we're going to do this year. And it's in Irvine, California, and it's 12 Steps to Happier is the name of it. And we're going to help you use those 12 steps to get to a place that I think would be hard for anybody to say, I don't think I want that. I don't think I want happier. I like unhappy. No, we can all grow a little bit. We can all make some progress. And that's what we're going to be talking about. And it'll be a great, great experience if you'll come. 1-800-NEW-LIFE to find out about all of that. And then we can only do this with support. Larry Sonnenberg is here to talk to us about our need for your support. Larry, talk to us.
Hey, Steve. We are like...
Speak right up there. And let's... Yeah, I'm sorry. Are my headphones? Is it my headphone?
I don't know. Let me try again.
Okay, good.
We are looking for folks to join Club New Life.
Yes.
Because that Club New Life is the base of support that enables us to do what we do. And that is help people get their lives turned around. It might be 180, it might be just a little adjustment, but we want people to live a different life. Club New Life helps us do that. And I want a brief little note from a Club New Life member to our Club New Life gal, Robbie Riggs. He says, I've been really blessed by this ministry. Wanted to let you and everyone in there know. The online free resource, the Arterburn Wellness series you sent me, live and off the air Christian radio advice, the way you guys freely give to people advice or materials. My heart is touched. I can do more, and this is a good ground to sow in. So I want to up my monthly giving from $30 to $100 a month.
Oh, wow.
So I wanted to, in addition to new Club New Life members, we need you folks who are currently giving to just pause and think, have I been giving this for a long time now? Maybe it's just time to up it a little. Maybe you can't do 30 to 100. Maybe you can do 30 to 35 or 40 to 50 or whatever. But we just need your support. And if you increase your giving, we can send you one of the thank you gifts that we have given. Just talk mm-hmm. to the folks who call when you call and tell them that's what you're looking for. Call us at 800-NEW-LIFE. We have a Club New Life video library, and Mylon did a couple of spots that are going up this week on the Pleaser. I'm trying to remember what the title was. Lisa sent it to me, and I forgot to bring it. But anyway, you did these a while back. We got them edited, and it's two videos about the Pleaser. So anyway, we just have a lot of things that we want to do. We want to do better, and we can use your help. We had a slow start this month at Club New Life. If it's been picking up, but if you could give it, we're looking for 6 people a day to join it.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, call us, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Come be part of the New Life Giving family. It is the foundation of all that we do when you give to Club New Life. And, you know, we believe that Jesus is the answer. But in finding our lives stuck, complicated, conflicted, and we're not able to allow Jesus to be the answer, what do? Do we struggle alone? If you listen to this program, you know the answer is no. Don't struggle alone. Let us help you. And the only way that we can continue to reach out to people and help them is if you will continue to help us. So please call us if you can, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It's the same number if you need help or if you can help us, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We love you. We care about you. Thank you, Larry. Thank you, Mylon. Thank you, Jill. God bless all of you. We'll see you right here tomorrow on New Life Live.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.